Johnson & Johnson says booster doses of its one-shot coronavirus vaccine generated a big spike in antibodies. The drug maker says people who received a booster 6 to 8 months after their initial J&J shots saw antibodies increase ninefold higher than 28 days after the first shot. Meantime, Pfizer and BioNTech have started their rolling submission to the FDA for their booster shot. Here to discuss all of that and more is Dr. Asha Shah, Director of Infectious Diseases at Stanford Health. Dr. Shah, thanks for being with us. Before we dive in here to the news of the day, just your reaction to J&J's announcement about that booster shot.
Yeah, I think it's something that we've been expecting for quite some time. I know that J&J has actively been doing research into a second dose. So this is data that we've been waiting. And it's not surprising to me. And I'm glad that they've come out with some data for those folks who did receive a J&J vaccine and have had lots of questions about what they need to do about booster shots.
Do you think that the more you hear from these big pharma companies that a booster shot is going to be needed annually with COVID-19, very much the same way we are given the flu shot annually?
So I think that we need to follow the science and we, you know, continue to follow guidance from the CDC and the ACIP about those recommendations. So I think it's a little bit too soon to say, you know, what's going to happen going forward about the need for annual COVID vaccines. But I think for the current time, what we're planning for is to start to administer booster shots in the end of September, pending the ACIP approval.
Now, here at Yahoo Finance, of course, we follow the growing list of companies that are now mandating their employees get vaccinated. In the airline sector, we've seen a lot of movement. United Airlines, Hawaiian Airlines say they're going to mandate vaccines for employees. Delta Airlines stopped short of mandating it, but did say that starting November 1, unvaccinated employees who are on the company's health insurance would have to pay a $200 monthly surcharge if they're not vaccinated. What do you think about that policy, and would you like to see more companies adopt it?
I am in favor of companies adopting these strong policies about COVID vaccination and mandating it. I think that it's become very clear that the way to stop the spread of COVID and to put the pandemic to an end is vaccination. We need to prevent severe disease from COVID from happening, and we have those tools at our fingertips. So I think the more that companies put these policies into place will help, you know, get more Americans and more people in general vaccinated. It's the only way out of this. And so I applaud their efforts.
You know, you could liken it, although it's very different in many ways, but you could liken it to health insurance companies assessing someone's risk when they decide how much they're going to pay for their medical insurance premiums. Those who are smokers, those who have existing pre-existing conditions, those who are diabetic could prove to be a larger risk to these health insurance companies. Do you feel that more insurance companies, more employers should be looking at unvaccinated COVID employees the same way?
I think so. I think that unvaccinated individuals who come down with COVID-19 have a high risk for, you know, ending up very sick, ending up in the hospital. There's also this concept of long haulers. These people could potentially have symptoms from COVID for quite some time. And it's all preventable. So I agree with your analogy. You know, it's like anything else in preventative medicine, right? You get up to date on your vaccinations, you minimize high risk activities like smoking and alcohol use, and those things will keep folks healthier in the long run. So I think it's a great idea.
Now I want to talk about some states and what they're doing regarding how they're dealing with the virus and the Delta variant. We heard from Oregon's Governor Kate Brown recently saying that masks are going to be required in many public outdoor settings. You know, in New York State, we know they're mandating masks even for those who are vaxxed indoors. We haven't seen that happen for outdoor settings. Do you think that that is the prudent thing to do here, and should more states be adopting that?
I think it depends on the level of community transmission of COVID. And there's a large variability in terms of community transmission around the country. I think that what we've seen from various clusters of COVID and outbreaks in both vaccinated and unvaccinated populations, that it's not necessarily about being outdoors or indoors, but it's about the crowd and the types of activities and the social distancing that are happening, you know, at various outdoor venues or indoor venues. Right now, the CDC recommends indoor masking for areas that are in high and areas of high transmission, which includes the most of the United States. And so I do agree with indoor masking for the time being. It's simple and it works, and it helps prevent the spread of COVID.
I'm going to pose to you a question a friend of mine asked me recently, because she knows I speak to doctors day in and day out on the show. And she has children under 12 who are not vaccinated, who want to go to an indoor water park. Hard to wear a mask at an indoor water park. What would you recommend to somebody who's wondering what to do with an event like that?
So I think that that can tend to be a high risk activity, but it also depends on where the indoor water park is. If the indoor water park is in a state or in a town or an area with very high COVID transmission, probably not the safest time to do that. I think that for children under the age of 12 who are not able to get vaccinated, it's best to have them, you know, do activities that are outdoors, wear masks indoors. And speaking as a parent myself, I think that I agree that getting them to mask in some of these indoor places is difficult, but it's the best way to keep them safe.
All right. Well, thanks for that advice. I'm sure she's listening right now. Dr. Asha Shah, Director of Infectious Diseases at Stanford Health. Thanks so much for your time today.